Rama had the following question. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person finds out post-Naziris about a Tumas Hatayim, then, meaning a Tumas Hatayim, a Tumah that no one was aware of, he does not have to redo his Naziris. If he finds out a Tumah Yutua, something that people knew about, he has to redo his Naziris. Because in essence, the Chiddush is the Tumas Hatayim, because really he was Tameh. He happened not to know, but now that he finds out he was Tameh, he was Tameh. Tumah is a reality. So he has to redo Naziris. Came to Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai and said, no, the fact that nobody knew about this Tumah, again, there's no logic to this. Again, I'll change that. There's no logic that we understand to this, and therefore, he does not have to redo it. So Rami Bar Chama's question is, if he found out about a Tumas HaTayim on the day of the 31st day, had he become Tumay that day, he would only have to redo 7. Because he didn't find, but he found out on day 31 that he had become Tumay by a Tumas HaTayim on day 20. So now he found out before he took his haircut. So he would have to redo Naziris. Does he redo it as if he became Tumay on day 20, which means 30 days? Or does he redo it as if he became Tumay on day 31, because that's when he found out? Right? That's the question. Now, if this would have been a Tumah Yadua, if this would have been a Tumah that anybody knows about it, there would be no question. If he finds out on day 31 that he became Tumah on day 20 and people knew about that mace, he would have to redo 30 days. That's not the question. The question is only, since this is our local Lamaisha Mishina called Tumas HaTayim, and by Tumas HaTayim, if you find out afterwards, you don't have to redo. So that means in a certain sense, we're going by when you find out. So how about if you find out on day 31? Do we say it happened on day 31? Or do we say, no, it happened on day 20. The fact that he found out on day 31 doesn't make a difference.
About regular Tumah, be clear.
It'd be clear to you know, by the time he became Tumah. The truth, because I'll prove it to you. Because if he finds out after he finished, he still has to redo it. Right? So obviously by regular Tumah, you go by the time of Tumah. The question is, by Tumah HaTayim. That was Rami Bar Chama's answer. Rubber proves it from the Mishnah. And how does he prove it from the Mishnah? He proves it from the Mishnah because the Mishnah says whether by Tumas HaTayim, it says, whether it was a Tumah, Benkach or Benkach, here. The Mishnah, when it quoted, it said, Im Atchaloi Gilach, Benkach or Benkach Saiser. If before he took a haircut, it makes no difference, he has to redo it. Whether it's a Tumah Yadua or whether it's a Tumah Satayim. Now, if the halacha would be that it makes a difference within the Naziris when he finds out, right? I'm sorry. If the Mishnah does not say whether he finds out right. The Mishnah does not differentiate if he finds out during his Naziris. Right? Again, let's go back. The Mishnah said, Im Atchelo Yilach, if he finds out before his haircut, it's Saitzer. He has to redo 30 days. Now, if the rule would be if he finds out on day 31, he only has to redo 7 days, the Mishnah should have mentioned that. If the halacha is, I taught it wrong yesterday. I don't want to talk too wrong today. No, again. Believe that this is the pshat. You know, even yesterday when I was doing it again at home to get it clear, I believe he's saying as follows. That just like when you find out after your Naziris is over, after the haircut, that you became Tamei during the Naziris, by Tumas HaTayim, you don't have to redo. So the same thing is true. That means you go by when you found out. The very fact that the Halakha L'Maaseh Mishnah says, if you find out a week after you finish Naziris, that there was a Tumas HaTayim during the Naziris, you don't have to redo it, right? But if you find out in the middle, you do have to redo it. But if you find out after, you don't have to redo it. Doesn't that say you go by the time you find out? By saying that if you find out afterwards, you don't have to redo, it's saying you go by the time you find out. Tumas HaTayim is a Tumas HaTayim. Whether you found out during or after, it's the same Tumas HaTayim. Yet, the halacha says, it depends when you found out. If you found out after, you don't have to redo. If you found out during, you do have to redo. The tumah was the same day. If you go by the tumah, why don't we ask when it happened? The answer is the law of Maisha Mitzinai says, go by when you found out.
Perhaps the rules change if you did the haircut already.
So he's saying, logic as much as you can use it, is since the halacha l'maaseh mishnah clearly says go by when you found out, it makes sense to say that if you find out on day 31, go by when you found out. That's what it says. Since you see that afterwards, right, we don't care when it happened. We care when you found out. So the same thing should be true, that even when you found out on day 31, the bottom line is you found out day 31. You go by when you found out. That's what I think. That is what the Gemara is saying.
Which is a kula, right?
Which is a kula, which means only 7 days. Right. Now, the problem, yeah.
But that's even according to Rabbanah?
Well, the Rabbanah say it's day 30 even on, if you find out on the day of a life. Yesterday, we brought a rush yesterday and said that you could ask that in Rabbanah as well, if it's biblical or rabbinic.
But was
Rabbi Lezer said you go by haircut. And that's what the Mishnah is operating with.
I'm saying, but the thing about having the, when you find out on the 31st day.
Right, according to Rabbanah, it's not going to make a difference. Because according to Rabbanah, you have to do 30 anyway. Yeah, except the Rosh did speak out that it's a question whether it's biblical or rabbinic. Because if you find out on, say, 31, Rabbanah only make you do 30 days rabbinically, not biblically. Then you wouldn't bring a carbon tumah. Yes?
This actually seems to me to argue for what I was saying yesterday, which actually I confirmed with someone else last night, in terms of the approach. What you said was someone who's got tumas tahom, tumah, and stuff like that then and there. What I said was there's a superposition. is both tumah and tahar. And there is no collapse into a definite state until there is knowledge, until there is an observation. It's exactly constant with the way quantum works. But,
Honestly, you should be making me, doctor. I have no idea what you're saying. I will tell you again. I would just
become tumma, at the moment they have experienced tumas tahom.
Yes, they do.
Something which
they do.
You just said they don't. In that
no, I didn't say that. I said, now, local emotion may seem, I said, vis-a-vis Nazir, they don't. Vis-a-vis Truma, vis-a-vis walking into the Beit HaMikdash, vis-a-vis touching things, they are Tamei.
So at that point, if the person walks into the Beit HaMikdash, is covered.
Bishayig, he would bring a carpet, correct.
If he never finds out, has he done anything wrong?
There's a whole sugya Masechet Shavuos about Tumas Mikdash V'Kedushav that people never find out. Mm-hmm. Add this to the list.
My brain is significantly older than yours, and I have forgotten it. So what is the conclusion of Shavuos?
That the carbon, one of the kavanos, one of the soyrim, the seirim, are machapra of these things. Yes, the yediyah b'tchila, eila yediyah b'tchila, what is the Sar of Shkainish? Sar of Yom Tov, Sar of Yom Kippur, two Seirim of Yom Kippur, Chutzlin.
Yeah.
So I don't remember which is which.
Also, I've got a puzzle on my gut, which we discussed in the past about 20 years ago, which is that the Rabbanu emotional stuff, specifically the things you don't know about, wind up on me, not on you.
Again, I'm not talking about what happens upstairs. I don't have a direct, I do have a direct line every time I dive into my next ray, but the line doesn't work the other way. If Rabbi Shem doesn't tell me, I talk to him. He talks to me through the Gemara. He doesn't talk to me directly. So therefore, directly through the Gemara, whatever you want to do, I'm not going to get involved now in the words. But the bottom line is, he's Tameh. He touches things, they're Tameh. He's going to need all these things, and that's what I believe, and I still think I'm right. I don't know who you talk to, I still think I'm right. Anyway, Dr. Rush, Umina. The Rosh that begins Umina.
Which page? We
got a page. Samach Gimel Amud Beis. 63B. It's probably B1. At least the page is B1, but the Rosh is halfway down.
The B1
always the end. Umina. Midikani Benkach Ubenkach Saisiv Alei Miflagi. It doesn't differentiate. Ben Tumel Shabbatayach Malais or Tumel Shabbatayach Malais. El Tani Saisiv Bistam. Alma din echadlech. It means there's one din. The Kamaisha Noidalei Acham Alois. Just like if he finds out on day 45, after he's finished his Naziris. Al Tumisha Acham Alois. Ein Asaisel Lazayim. Well, then Noidalei Al Tumisha Lefneim Alois. It makes no difference when he became Tameh. Just like if he became Tameh on the day of he finds out that he became Tameh after the day of Alois, it's 7. Meaning he becomes tummy for 7 days just so he can bring his korbanos betara, not that it takes off his naziris. So also if he finds out on day of Malois, it's no difference. Mami no the bus of your dia zinon, you go by when he finds out. He's gonna whatever he finds out he's gonna have to do 7. He's tummy.
Of course.
Right. But no korbanos naziris tumma.
Right, but
if he brought them already, he doesn't have to re-bring them. If he didn't bring them yet, he would have to re-bring them.
What's the raya to the law? Where in the Mishnah do I have this raya?
Because the Mishnah says that if you find out after Malais, you don't have to redo the Naziris by Tumas HaKain. What do you mean? You became Tummy in middle. Enter it, you go by when you find out. The very halacha of Tumas HaTayim says, you go by you will find out.
And so that's what I'm saying.
So therefore, if you find out on day 31, we go by when you find out.
That's the tome tells. Is the halakha which we see that it says you go after where you find it?
Exactly.
But what's the raya to that?
The halakha that says if you find out after it's finished that you don't have to redo it.
According to?
Anybody. Everybody. Now the Rosh has a problem. Because by Tumah Yadua, we don't go by when you found out. If it was somebody who knew, you have to redo it even if you find out no matter when. So this rule that you go by when you found out, if it's a now, if people knew about the tumor, we go by when you became tumor.
Are we talking about the home though?
The kasha the Rosh asks now is from you do what you see you don't go by when you found out. From time you see you go by you found out.
Are we going about the home now?
Yes.
Is this Mishnah talking about the home?
It's talking about both. Contrast them. The Mishnah contrasts Tumi Yadua and Tumas HaTayim. Dr. Rosh, the Tixi, Hamir B'Masnis, and Dazir Shigilach V'Acha Adnai Dishu Tamei, Im Yitumi Yadua, Seitzer, Alma Basar Tumas Linan. By an eligible Tumah, you go by Tumah, V'Niri Lila Taretz, Gloi Dami. It's not comparable. The Bereshik La'Evi Kabbanas V'Tumah. In the first case, when it was Tumi Yadua, he already brought his Kabbanas. Because he became Tama to be Yadua. There's no halakha l'mayis mitzinai. He's going to have to redo it. So tzvichin anu le'lechakar Tama. Meaning the Rosh is basically saying, don't compare Yadua to any Yadua. The halakha l'mayis mitzinai was said by Tumas HaKayim. It wasn't said by a Tumah that anybody knows. By Tumah that anybody knows, you go by when he became Tumah. Because he's got to redo. He can't redo if he finds out day 45. Why does he have to redo? Terrence says, if people knew about it, then you don't go by when he finds out. You go by when he became Tumah. He has written about the idea, quite often is a Rassai. You would go by the way you found out. If he found out 2 weeks later, why did you redo? The answer is, no, I lost all my Shemitinai. This man is Tumah. He has to redo. So obviously, you go by when he became Tumah. Right? However, if he became Tumah on day 31, so then you would go Bas Yediyah, meaning in the case of Tuma Satayim, you would go by when he knows it, not by when he became Tumah. Dr. Gemara Weiter, Tana Rabbana. Hamaitzi mace mutul or chavitz oderach. A guy found a mace that was laying across the width of the road, and it's impossible to walk the road without walking over the mace. Now he's not in a grave. It was not a dug grave. The guy died for some reason, ended up underground, and it's not going to make a difference yet, but it'll make a difference as we go along. And the guy walks across it. So the Truma Tame.
There's no option to go around.
No option to go around. Exactly. It covers 100% of the road. Because later on we're going to see there's a difference between a grave. So for Truma, he's Tame. Which means that if he touched Truma, it's Tame. That means he is a Tame mace. And if he touched Truma, the Truma is Tame. And if he ate Truma, he has the aveira of eating truma b'shay, again, not willingly, but he ate truma b'tameh. But nazir b'aitse pesach tohar. However, by nazir b'aitse pesach he's tohar, because, meaning, he doesn't have to redo nazirus, he doesn't have to redo pesach, because Tumah Satayim, nobody knew the mace was there. Nobody knew the mace was there. The guy died and fell under the ground. Nobody knows he's there. Maybe they built the road afterwards. I don't know.
Underground.
He's under the ground.
Underground. He's on the ground.
No, he's under the ground. And we found him later under the ground. The Medvar Mamorim Shaylim Makam Lavar. That's what he had no place to go around it. Or right? So therefore we say, maybe he...
Is that a grave?
Okay, let's wait, okay? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought the word up. Take it back. Delete. Push the delete button. The problem is, when you say something, it's hard to delete. You can delete on a computer, but in your mouth, it's hard to delete. He has no place to go across without going over the mace. Let's say it only picks up 50%, only takes up 50% of the road, or 60% of the road. The guy walked in the road, he has no idea where he walked. He doesn't know if he walked over him, not over him, no idea. But it doesn't take the whole road, it's not 100%. So this is a tumah tumah in a public area. It's a street. So therefore, halacha is, after tumah tahor. It's a tumah tumah b'shus harabim. He's 100% tahor. B'medvar mamurim shemaseh shalim. When does this halacha apply? It was a whole body. Avo b'shubar mefurak. If it's broken or detached. So then, it's possible that he walked between the pieces. So even though the pieces take the whole width of the street, but there's space in between them. And therefore, it's still a Safek Tumah. We don't know where on the street he walked. You know, there's pieces here, there's pieces there. He might have walked between the pieces. So therefore, he's tar. Even if it occupies the whole thing, it occupies the whole thing, but it doesn't really occupy the whole thing because there's room between the pieces. You don't know if he walked over the pieces or not. So it's a Safek Tumah b'shus harabim, he's tahor. B'kever, however, if this is a grave, then afilu mishubur mefurak tameh mipnei shekever mitzarfai. The grave puts all the pieces as if they're one. That's what a grave makes a difference. If this is a dug grave, right? So then we say, he's tameh. Because even if he walked between the pieces, he walked over a grave that had a mace, and therefore he's tamei. The kever is the tzar of it. Now, hold a second. Again, there's a little bit of a problem because if he's in a grave, then somebody knew he died. So this is a tumah yadua. I mean, if a guy ends up under the ground, you can say nobody ever knew. But if he ends up in a grave under the ground. What?
He's a goy.
God, again, does anybody know and anybody not know?
When we say yadua, that's referring to even a goy?
That's a good question. I would think yes, but I have no proof. We know this is a Jewish body. This is an Eretz Yisrael in the time of Bayit
Shlishi. I have no problem with that, but I'm just saying.
Again, Dr. Schwab, I wasn't willing to hazard my shots now. I was trying to answer the question in the simplest way.
I would point out that this whole thing is totally on the tefach, as Rabbi Rabinovich points out, and it's also earlier in the talk, the kever depends if there's a tefach.
There is a tefach. And it's a sealed kever.
I want to get out of your question, which you could say is that this person died in the room, then a tree fell over, and that tree was the tefach above him, and then that was buried over.
Maybe.
Yeah, so it's possible to get around the question, which does.
Maybe.
Rabbi, what about the probability walked over it, even if it didn't go all the way across the road?
It's a very good question. At what point is something tumma bishul sarabim tameh?
So, for example, if he's in a culture where it's a very busy road, and all the people go in one way, so everybody stays on the right, and the body was found on the right.
So then he's tameh. Then it's not a suffix.
Well, he might have wandered to the left. I'm just saying it's a probability. It's not a...
Right. See, this is it's a bigger problem. Because the Rashi is going to explain that if the body is broken, he might have walked between the pieces. That means he would have had to walk not straight. I had a problem with that. What's the probability of the guy not walking straight? Yes, the Rashi says that's a suffix tumma b'shul sarabim. So, again, I don't know, you know, what the... this was what bothered me. I was going to get to that in a second. I don't know what the rule is as far as that's concerned. It is not 100%. But it is a probability that he didn't walk, you know, around. But then again, traffic. Yes.
Actually, it's not a probability. It's a degree of certainty. That, and in this case, the whole idea of Tumma b'shul sarabim seems to be that you have to have a certainty.
I don't know this. I'm not sure. You seem to be sure. You're certain, and I'm not certain.
But when we have
the halacha of something, Rav or Yachid,
does it have anything to do with 5% chance?
That's what Harvey asked.
No, I'm asking
Rabbi. And I said, I don't know. And Dr. Schwab said he knows it has to be 100%.
No, I'm saying it's not a problem.
Right.
It has to be certain.
Okay, whatever it's called.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure. I said, I see from this rush that it's a subject of just around, even though it's not a huge chance that this is what happened.
No chance.
Well, right. No, if it's no chance, then it's not a subject.
Almost no chance. That he's
so I don't know what almost no chance means.
It means, that's a good point.
That's the Gemara Mishnah, the Gemara Vayter. This is when he's walking. So it's possible that he walked between the pieces. Avo, torn, if he's being carried. Think Torah means being carried. What does he say Torah means?
Loaded with a
burden. Loaded with a burden. That means he automatically, when he's loaded with a burden, walks in a way that he wanders from side to side. He can't maneuver like that. He doesn't have the ability to do that. A rochav, he's riding a wagon or an animal. When you walk, it's possible that he didn't touch any piece of the maze. Nor that you moved any piece of the mace, nor that you were over any piece of the mace. Ton Erochov, however, a person that's loaded or he's riding something, right? It's almost impossible. Meaning, it's impossible. It says, I won't say almost impossible. We'll say impossible. Because when you're walking with a load, you're walking differently than when you're walking without a load. You're overloaded. Now, I'm not talking if you're carrying a tissue box. I'm talking about you're carrying a heavy load. So it affects the way you walk, and you don't say that you probably maneuvered in between. It's a certainty, we'll use Dr. Schwab's word, that you did cause the derma.
And you can't see this thing.
No.
As soon as you don't have a load, at least move.
That's what I just said. This is what I brought you a riot from the rush, that obviously I don't know how probable or certain it has to be. That's exactly what I said.
So the Shlomi
Yassid
means that he's moving the bone?
Moving the bone, yes.
Can I, again,
it's possible that he moved the bone. He didn't see it. Nobody saw it.
But it's not necessarily covered, or it could be underground moving the bone.
You can move the ground under the bone, too. Usually you won't because the ground's covered, but it's possible. Yes, Doctor. Can I just finish the bride so it makes much easier? The Medrama Murim Betumas Hatayim. All this is what nobody knew about it. Abatum Yedua, Shlosh and Tameyan. Whether it's Kuma or Pesach or Nazir, you're Tameh. Beizu Tumas Hatayim, Koshay Makir Echa Besayf Ailam. No one knows about it. Makir Echa Besayf Ailam, Ainzu Tumas Hatayim. If somebody knew about it, it's not Tumas Hatayim. Haitamim Betseven Ebetsiris. He was hidden in straw or in pebbles. It's very possible that he got showered with pebbles and died under the pebbles and nobody knows. Or the straw fell on him. I don't know how he died. And he's there. If it's in a sea. And not under the sea, but on the sea. Or bafela. How did you translate bafela? In the darkness? In a dark place?
Is the
crevices. Darkness. Angel Tumas Hatayim, because probably people know about it. It might be dark now, but somebody saw it, and it's very probable that somebody knew about it. It's only for Tumas Meis. Meaning, there are other Tumas that you could have Tumas Hatayim, and I'll explain that after we finish the rush and after we settle into this. But the price is saying the only time this halacha l'maaseh mitzvah applies is by a question of tumas meis. Okay, yes, doctor.
Clarification on the question is because it has covered. In terms of your question of someone wending their way through the fragments of Bob, that if you do not have your feet on the ground, and you are in motion. In other words, if you are running, are you makabel tumas? Are you in oil?
Yes.
You are?
Yes. Your feet are on the ground.
What?
Your feet are on the ground.
No. There was a controversy going up, my bridge in the 19th century, whether someone is running.
Yes. The Gemara considers them feet on the ground.
Okay.
It's all the
same. It doesn't matter if it's Yadua. And that one person, let's say he's a grave digger or whatever, but he's no longer any, he's passed.
That's a good question. I'm not sure, I'll be honest. But we'll never know that. How would you know that he passed on? The only way you would know it is if you identify that the body's been here for 260 years, so the guy's not alive anymore.
Right.
But Gemara doesn't discuss this. Meaning, in any Tumas HaTayim, I don't know. The answer is I don't know. Before I start talking, I don't know.
About it because of the kever.
I understand. That's what I said. I didn't understand.
What did
Rebbe
say now?
I said, I don't know.
260 years ago. If it happens 260 years ago, and people knew then, but today they don't, is that the home?
I don't think so. I mean, I think yes. But I'm not sure. That's why I said I don't know.
That's
right. Zagdarash. It's impossible to pass. Broken into pieces, or detached limbs. I feel the ain't malkum laver. Kagan. The chatzia meis mutol abitari yamin at chatzia derech. A rubai. The half of the meis is on the right side. To half or less than half. The chatziyacha muflig yemeno mitzad somayi le'at chatziya derech ayrubay. The left side also has it, but further up the road. Meaning, if you put them together, you would have the whole road. But one is 2 feet, I made up that number, behind the other half. V'haylech derech yisharu lefanav, If you're going straight, you're going to hit some half, either the first half or the second half. I thought, oh, guitar, trying to tell him, shake him back. Maybe you walked to the right side and then switched to the left side, and therefore you might never have walked over it. The Medrar Mamurim Dover, the Lina Shavar Ben Abrakim Ben Mahalach. But it's only by, if it's without a kever, but if it's with a kever, it's mitzarefet. Now, the Rush mentioned that there is no Tumas HaTayim only by mace. What would be an other case of Tumas HaTayim? There are many cases of Tumas HaTayim that we can have. For instance, a guy, well, this is the case that the Gemara brings. A person says God, on day 7 he goes to the mikvah. That night he becomes completely tar. The truth is, as soon as you went to the mikvah on day 7, let's go back. To be a zav, a person has to have 3 discharges. He had 3 discharges. He's on day 7, he went to the mikvah. If he doesn't see the rest of the day, he's tar from the moment he went to the mikvah. He's not a zav. He's a tuyayim, he's a b'chus to kippurim, a lower form of tumah. But his zivus, the strict level of zivus, ends by the time he went to the mikvah. Then later in the day, he sees. On day 7, he has this discharge, and he went to the mikvah day 7 in the morning, he's excited, he's not a zav, he can sit on a chair, he doesn't become tamei, he's not a zav anymore. He's a tuyayim. Now, that afternoon he sees, retroactively, he says up again, he never had 7 clean days. But during that time period, nobody knew that he was a zav. Nobody. That's called a tumas HaTayim. We don't care. We consider him a zav, and we don't say, since nobody knew, we don't give him the halacha of zav for Nazir or Pesach, whatever it is. That's what we say. It's machlokes. With the two young kids of them. It's machlokes. Zag to Gemara Baita. Now we go to the next halach. Ketzad. Yorad. It says that a tumah was floating. We learned that in the Mishnah. A floating tumah. So we said that a floating tumah in the water over there, Benimtzah, right? He's tamei because people know about it. It's a yidua when the mace is floating. Zukt the Gemara. Safa einim matama le'inyan sheretz. If a tumah is floating, a dead sheretz is not matame if it's a suffix.
The sheretz is floating?
Yeah. Dead sheretz is floating. A dead rat.
It seems to contradict itself.
It's not. No, because this halacha of tum of safa does not apply to mace. That's what we're saying. It doesn't apply to mace. Therefore, in our Mishnah, it's Safa, it's floating, but it makes no difference. That which we say, that Safa is not Matame, is only by Sheretz, not by Mace.
What
does
it have to do with it?
It's Xeret HaKasuf.
What does it mean? What's floating or on
land? So, we'll see them. Safa, Eina Matame, Sheretz. Ditnan. It's supposed to be Ditnan. Safik Tumut Safa. If a guy is mesupik, if he touched a tumas sheretz that was floating, bein bekalim, whether this was in a vessel, bein bekarka, whether it was in a pool, in a puddle, tar, tahira. He's tar. Because it has to be, right. Let's see the rush. But not. Sapik tuma tsapa, bein bekalim, bein bekarka. Mishnahi Perigdao de Masechtas Taras. The Tani Laomina says before, Elu Sveikas Yatiru Chachamim. These Sveikas, when you don't know if you touched it or not, it's Tahar. Sapik Tumah Tzapap Ne'amayim. You have a Sapik where the one touched a Tumah that's floating. Tani Hakabasar Haki. Sapik Tumah Tzapap Ne'amayim Pirish Yatiru Chachamim. That's what we said, that a suffix tumor that's floating is tar. Bein b'mayim shebekelim, bein b'mayim shagabikarka. It doesn't make a difference whether this suffix is the water is in a keli, it's floating in a big keli, or if it's floating on the ground, in a puddle, in a lake. It's tar. Now, why is it tar? I believe, because, I mean, it's not I believe. The Gemara is going to say it's a pasuk that we derive that if it's floating, suffix is tar. If you badai touched it, you're tame. But if you didn't badai touch it, you're tar. Reb Shimon Eimer bekelim tameya bekarka taira. Reb Shimon says, no, it depends whether it's floating on the ground or whether it's floating on a keli, in a keli. My time in the Tanakhama. Where did the Tanakhama get to say that a floating tame is tar? Where did you get that from? Where does it come from? With my chance before. Where does this halakha come from? What difference does it make if it's floating or if it's stationary? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Ksiv B'chol HaSheretz HaShayretz. Anybody that touches a sheretz, HaShayretz means that crawls, I guess. Kol Mokim Su Shayretz. It makes no difference where it is. Whether it's in floating in water, whether it's on ground, it's Tameh. Ksiv, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Ksiv Alo Haaretz. Another pasuk says, B'chol HaSheretz HaShayretz Alo Haaretz. So here we have one pasuk that says Kol Hasheretz Hashayretz without limiting it to Alo Haaretz, and one pasuk says on dry land. That means only on dry land, not in the water. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? One pasuk says Sheretz makes you tameh regardless. No limitation of where the Sheretz is located. The other pasuk says Sheretz is metameh when it's Alo Haaretz. Haaretz is dry land. So how do we reconcile it? Okay, Tzad. Vadai magli tamei, suffik magli tahor. If you know for sure you touched it, it makes no difference. If you don't know if you touched it, ala aretz, you're tamei. If it's just a yachet. And on the water, you're tahor. That's the source.
What's the difference?
Sheretz hakasav. If you know for sure you touched the sheretz, even if it's floating, you're tamei. But if you don't know if you touched it, on dry land, you're tamei. On water, you're tar.
Are sheretz by definition a land animal?
There's seven shrutzim. All of them are land animals, correct.
So we can't have anything that flies and walks.
No.
And walks.
No. See, there's two translations to the word sheretz. There's only eight. The sheretz is a general term for any creepy crawler or things like creepy crawlers that are low down to the ground. Rats, lizards, frogs. Those things are called... Now, there are many more shratzim. There are ants and cockroaches. But they're not metame. Only eight are metame, and they're all land-based.
So, frogs, like this one, they can live, as I understand it, long periods of time on the water.
Yeah, but they're considered animal, land animals, because that's where they come out to. You know, there's an interesting Mishnah. I have a few minutes. There's an interesting Mishnah in I believe it's in Caleb, that when it talks about land animals and sea animals, it says a certain animal is considered a land animal, even though it lives in the sea, because whenever it's in danger, it goes to the land. So that proves that that's where it really feels that it belongs. Yeah, it's a Mishnah.
I don't remember that at all.
I do.
Yeah, so there's a famous story with Ricky Vager. That there was a guy who was made trouble from a yidden all the time, a yidden. And then he got sick, and he asked they should say Tehillim in the base medrash. So Rabbi Vega said to say Tehillim. So they said, he makes trouble for us all the time, and now he's telling us to say Tehillim? So he said, the Mishnah says, if we go where you're in danger, that shows who you are. Who did he ask? What did he do when he's in danger? He asked us to say Tehillim. That means, deep down, he's a Tehillim person. So therefore, Rabbi Vega said to say Tehillim, based on that Mishnah. That's why I mentioned it last time, too, probably. Now I'll say it again. Yes?
That's the same thing as how we know whether or not a bird is wild or not. It's where it goes when it needs to rest.
Could be. I don't know that. Okay, Todd. Vade magi tamei tzavik magi tohar. Reb Shimon my taima, Amar Ula Ksiv Achmayon. It says in the pasuk, Achmayon Ubar Mikve Mayim Yitar V'negei B'nivlosam Yitma. Right, Ksiv Yitma. It says Mayon of Mikve Mayim Yitar. In the water it's tahar, and then it says Yitma. So why is the Torah making why Mayon? Right, first it says Alaretz, then it says Mayon, and at the end it says Yitma. Okay, Tzafa Bekelim Kame Bekarka Tohar. He says that Mayan is Tohar, right? And then it says, and it gave it of Lassim Yitma in that same pasuk that seems to say it's the, makes no difference where it's in the ground or in the water. The answer is, if you're in a keli, it's tamei, this halacha, the floating, is not matame. The suffix is only in the floating in a natural water or in the ground, a pool in the water, in the ground, a puddle, lake, not in a vat. Zogdarash. Sivka asheret asheret. The mashma b'chom makim shu asheret. Perish lari litzreis. Whenever it can be there, afil alamayim. Matame. Siv Asheret, Asheret Alaret, the Masma Dask Alaret Matame, only in the run. Okay, Tat. Vadai Noga Bakom Makam Tame. Abasafik Nagalamayim Tahor. Siv Achmayim Ubar Mikvamayim Yator. The Masma Nagay Besheret Shapnamayim Ubar Mikvatar. Says only in a Mayan, a bar Mikvatar. These are in the ground. Siv Asheret Nagay Bemitma, the Masma Bakom Makam. So Reb Shimon says, in a Kaili, it's Tame, in the ground, it's Tahor. Fine, we will stop over here. Mitzvah Monday, Sunday at Chazara. Monday morning we will start. Again, the CM is called for January 3rd. 4th. January 4th, I'm sorry. January 4th, a Sunday, Mitzvah. Yeah. January.
That?
I'm sorry. Sunday is the 3rd or the 4th?
4th.
Right, it's the 4th.
Well, where is it at? Everyone's coming.
He was still from Rabbi Berger.